This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert. So, Doug, who is today's special guest?
So, hey, this is Doug with Fearless Presentations. We got a special guest today. It's Sue Schoenfeld. She's with a company called Consulting, Coaching, and Curriculum Design. And actually, one of her big clients is the Leaders Institute. She actually does a lot of our design and our programs that work with professional people, especially attorneys. And our background is in coaching attorneys and presentation skills and leadership skills and stuff like that. So I want to welcome Sue to the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Hi, Doug. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good deal. So Sue, tell us about your background. How did you kind of get into the specialty of kind of coaching the professional kind of group?
Well, I've taught public speaking at several universities. I'm in Wisconsin, so I've taught at Marquette University and University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee for many, many years. And then I started to work in the corporate world. And one of the things that I was doing was a little bit of consulting and professional speaking. And I spent 12 years of my career with Foley & Lardner Law Firm as the professional development director.
Sure.
And one of the things that I did while at Foley was coach attorneys on presentation skills. So I started to do that, and in between I kind of had my own business, and so my coaching went to people in other areas of business as well. So lots of different executives and sometimes people who wanted to give a speech or talk in the community, worked with them, and it's really the thing I love to do most. I love to speak, and I like to help people speak, so that's kind of how I got involved.
Now, I know you've got a lot of great tips for professional speakers or professional executives and folks who are in the corporate world. But before we kind of get into that, because your specialty is in working with attorneys, kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of the difference between what happens in real law work versus kind of what you see on TV. What's the kind of difference that you see there?
Well, I think when we watch television, no matter whether it's The Good Wife or Law and Order, the different programs that we watch, they portray it as very glamorous. I think that the actual law firm world is not quite so glamorous. First of all, people don't go to trials as much as they used to because it's so expensive to litigate. And so instead, I think what happens is there's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of meetings, there's a lot of time spent, and basically a lot of attorneys end up settling the cases, and so the negotiation skills are really key, very often more so than the actual litigation skills, the courtroom work.
Yeah, sure. When you say negotiation skills, so how does have it being good at presenting and designing presentations and stuff like that? How does like your coaching help an attorney kind of negotiate a little bit better?
Well, many things. First of all, I think today the law firm world is so competitive. People have lots of choices as to who they want to use. So I think attorneys today not only have to sell their skills, sell their law firm, but they have to sell themselves as well. So how you present yourself in front of an audience or in front of a client is really important. Now, we talked about television before. One of the things that all of the television programs have in common in terms of how they portray attorneys is not that they're tall, short, and they all seem to wear Armani suits, but let's forget about that. I think the key is they all have self-confidence.
Sure.
And I think one of the things an attorney has to do is really portray him or herself as someone who has a lot of self-confidence. Clients today want to know that you are someone who will take care of them. And when juries sit in a courtroom, they want to feel that the attorney has control, that the attorney who is representing his or her client is really someone who knows how to, you know, knows their business and knows how to take care of their client. So one of the things that I do coach on is how to present yourself in a self-confident manner.
Sure.
And one of the things we spend a lot of time doing is how to relax. You know, whether you're making a presentation to a client, whether you're making a presentation as a marketing thing, or whether you're presenting yourself in the courtroom, you have to be relaxed, because most people don't want to give a speech. They don't want to give a presentation. And so when you're up there presenting yourself, they're really rooting for you. But when they start to feel uncomfortable, Doug, is when you show signs of nervousness. So I think what I spend a lot of time doing is, you know, where do you show your tension? Everybody's got tension. But the question is, where do you show it and how can you mask that tension? So when I coach, I teach relaxing exercises in terms of how to relax your neck, how to relax your shoulders, how to relax your hands, what to do with your hands when you make a presentation, whether it's in front of one client or in front of 200, how you handle your body language. So I spend a lot of time doing that. Also spend time talking about...
Oh, sorry. Don't mean to interrupt, but just out of curiosity, since we're on the podcast, is that something that you can kind of tell us a little bit about? Is that more something that they have to see in order to be able to?
No, I think I can describe it. In fact, Doug, why don't you try doing this relaxation technique with me? Okay.
Oh, now keep in mind, I have to do the podcast too. So if I relax too much and I fall asleep, you're gonna be on your own for a few minutes. So.
Okay. I think you're going to be okay. So listening audience, you can join that. Okay, one of the places where we tend to show tension is in our shoulders. Sure. And so think of a speaker who's standing up and kind of looking like a wooden tin soldier. You can have a nice smile on your face, but you show your tension in your shoulders. Right. So take your shoulders with me now and make them go forward. So raise them so they go forward. Okay. Now take them all the way up in the air so they almost touch your ears.
Yep.
Then take them all the way back and then down to where they were naturally. So once again, go forward, up, touch your ears, go all the way back and down. So you should feel kind of relaxed in your shoulders. Another thing that's good to do is a head roll, because we tend to show tension in our necks. So take your neck and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes if you can.
Yep.
Then go all the way to the right. Put your neck all the way back and open your mouth as wide as you can and say, ah.
Ah.
Oh, that's not wide enough. But then go to the left. There you go. The left and down. So what you're doing is you're making a circle. And the reason I have you opening your mouth wide and saying, ah, is when people are nervous, it shows in your voice. So you kind of get that tight kind of quality. You wouldn't want to listen to me speaking like this for 30 minutes.
Right.
However, as soon as I open my mouth wide and I say, ah, I'm loosening the tension in my vocal cords. And so my voice will be more relaxed. Another thing that you can do to relax your voice is yawn and say the word more. So yawn and say the word more. And once again, you are opening up your vocal cords and appearing more relaxed. So some of the things that I do is I spend time talking about how to relax.
Sure.
The other thing I talk about is, what do clients want their attorney to be? And people kind of think, well, you know, the only thing that's important is that my attorney has to know what he or she is doing.
Right.
And actually, there's a Ann Cuddy, who's a Harvard Business School professor, in her book states that warmth or trustworthiness is the most important factor in how people evaluate you. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about warmth, one of the ways that you can achieve warmth is smile.
Mm-hmm.
Having a smile on your face. And I know so many attorneys are rushed, or executives are rushed. They have so much on their mind that they forget that take a minute to smile when you meet someone. And take a minute to act in a warm way. Ask questions. How are you? How's your family? Make small talk. So being warm. Being warm and being someone who appears friendly is important. Also, we talk about the need to be considerate. And one of the key things is returning phone calls. It's a silly thing, but I think that if you can learn to return a phone call, there's one law firm that I work with that had a 10-minute phone call return policy.
Ooh, nice.
And the policy was not that you had to return a phone call in 10 minutes, but your legal assistant would do so and might say, okay, you've called attorney so-and-so. He's in court today, but he will be able to get back to you sometime tomorrow. What is the best time for you? This is the time that he might be available to call.
Yeah, yeah.
So being considerate and also showing passion. you have to remember that so much of law tends to be routine. There's real estate attorneys that must do 100 closings in a two-week period. But you have to be passionate. You have to make your client feel that they're your number one priority. Sure. And that's important. And you have to be a good listener. One of the things that, you know, attorneys are paid by the minute in terms of how much they talk and how long they speak. And I think today in general, our society evaluates people on being good speakers, but not good listeners. Mm-hmm. And I think if we take the time to listen to the clients that you have and the people that you serve, your customers, no matter what your business is, I think you gain a lot of information and people feel valued when you listen to them. And I think that's something that's important. I love to tell a story. I have a friend who was a therapist or is a therapist. And she had one of her clients come in, and for the entire hour of his therapy, he spoke and she never said a word. And at the end of the session, he shook her hand and he said, "Thank you so much. This is the best session we ever had." Uh-huh. And I think it just tells us something in terms of listening.
Sure.
Another thing that I spend a lot of time with in terms of coaching my clients, whether you're at a client meeting or whether you're giving a speech or you're at a trial, is your body language. How are we communicating through our bodies? And sometimes, you know, in our society, we value space. So if you take up more space at a meeting, you spread yourself out, it kind of makes you look like you are someone who is more important. Making eye contact is crucial. Making sure that you look people directly in the eye when you speak to them, whether it's a one-on-one situation or if it's in a speaking situation. And when you talk about eye contact, if let's say I'm speaking to a large group, I divide my audience. So if I have an audience, I divide it into three parts, and I make sure that I look at section number one on the side, section number two, section number three, and then I go back. And even though I might be speaking to 200 people and I might give a 15-minute speech, I can make them think that I've spoke and had eye contact with each of them directly. So looking at people in the eye and making sure that I hold that eye contact for at least 30 seconds, and then I move slowly to the next section. So having eye contact is something also that I do a lot of coaching on. And gestures. How do you use your hands when you speak? And how do you read the body language of others? For example, if I'm at a client meeting, and I have a client who has their hands clasped, and the clasped hands are high. Their hands are held high, you know, kind of in a triangle, and their hands are clasped and they're high. This is somebody, if I'm negotiating, this is somebody who's probably not willing to budge. They have kind of made up their mind, and you haven't convinced them. But as those hands get lowered, so they're still clasped, but as they get lowered perhaps to table level, and I see those hands relax, I know that I'm making progress in terms of that negotiation. And something else that I tell my clients is, you know, when you're doing negotiating, always try to do it in your own office, because people always have more power when they're speaking on their own turf. Right. So that's something that I coach people on. So those are some of the things, you know, that I think are important. Hands are key. People never know what to do with their hands when they speak. So I tell them definitely avoid folding your arms in front of you. And for females, that's a very comfortable position, but it makes you look angry and closed. I also say avoid putting your hands in your pockets. It's way too casual. Or the old Perry Mason approach where your hands are behind your back. And that's really, you know, it looks like you're interrogating someone. So when you're speaking and you don't know what to do with your hands, if you're a new speaker, I suggest standing at a podium and resting your hands at the podium. Very often, if you're nervous, your hands might shake, and if you rest it on the podium, nobody will see shaking. If you're speaking and you're not in front of a podium, I suggest having your hands clasped gently and clasped at waist level. You want to avoid below that. We call that the fig leaf position, and that's inappropriate. But just clasp very gently, you know, at waist level, so your hands are free to gesture.
Nice.
Gesturing is something that's really important, that you can gesture. And when you gesture, when you're giving a speech or a presentation, you want to make sure that your hands, your gestures, are far away enough from your body that they look deliberate, that the gesture was something you meant to do instead of just an accident. And you also, once again, have more power when you're gesturing away from the body, and you look more confident. So that's something that we work on. And then, we talk about gesturing, making sure the gesture fits the word and your voice fits the gesture. So those are things that we practice.
Good. Hey, so as you can see, you know, Sue's got a lot of knowledge about how to help professionals and present better and be better leaders and be better confident. And it's just the tip of the iceberg of the things that she kind of covers in her coaching session. But let me kind of let's back up a little bit, because I know a lot of times professionals, especially attorneys, doctors, engineers, accountants, a lot of times when professionals get out of college, they're kind of improperly trained that once you get out of college, you're going to know everything about that you need to know about that industry. When in reality, most of the stuff that we learn in our day-to-day business, we learn it on the job. We learn it through practice and that kind of thing. So how does the coaching that you do help a brand new attorney or a brand new accountant or a brand new engineer kind of get into the workplace and be able to accomplish more at a faster rate?
Well, one of the things that I also talk about is establishing relationships and how to get along with other people. And that's key. When I have been, I do a lot of work establishing mentoring programs at different organizations and different companies. And I think it's very important that you find a mentor, somebody who's in that law firm or that engineering firm or accounting firm, who can kind of take you under their wings. And if it's not provided by the company directly, I encourage people to look yourself for someone that you admire. It doesn't have to be the top person, but it's got to be someone who has the right kind of style and someone you think you can emulate. And it has to follow that person around a little bit, shadow them so you can see how they do business and how they conduct themselves. I also talk about looking at best practices, joining a professional organization, for example, making sure that you're meeting with other people who do what you do at different levels. And you learn from those individuals. You pick up good tips. Certainly reading materials, you should be constantly reading and keeping yourself update what's going on in your field and what tips are other people giving you. Certainly I think in terms of the trial work for attorneys or making a proposal, that's something that, I don't think they always talk about in terms of your career. And I think some of the tips that we can talk about, the tips on self-confidence or how to go about writing a proposal if you're making a sales proposal or how to make a cold call or how to talk on the telephone. I think these are all skills that we talk about, things certainly that they didn't cover in school. Giving feedback is another thing, and receiving feedback. I think it's really important that we get used to feeling, getting feedback, good and bad, and using it as a moment to learn. And so I talk a lot about that.
Right. Well, so let's get back to the sales part, because I know that's one of the things that a lot of especially attorneys and engineers and accountants that they don't realize. If an accountant goes out and starts an accounting practice on day one, you got zero clients. And so if you're not a good salesperson, you're going to starve. Same thing with an attorney, right? So it's about bringing in those new clients. And I think a lot of people don't realize how important the sales process is in the professional gig, right? So how do you help people with the when I say how do you help people, like what are some of the biggest challenges that you think like a brand new attorney is going to see as far as trying to bring in new clients, and what's one or two tips that you can kind of give them to help bring in those new clients a little bit easier?
Well, I think you have to humble yourself, and that's something that might be a hard thing for some people with, we talked about confidence, but you have to kind of take your ego and make sure it doesn't show. I think initially a good thing to do is just get out and, you know, give free speeches, give free talks. Right. You never know who's going to be in the audience. And you want to, you know, promote yourself. You know, you have your business cards with you. You talk to the Rotary Club. Talk to as many organizations. I mentioned professional organizations. Offer to speak at the professional organization. And actually in the law firm, see if there's any opportunities. You know, pro bono work is a real good opportunity to learn on the job. You know, get used to working with clients because that's something new. And once again, put yourself in the shoes of the client. You know, when you are out in front of someone, what are they thinking? What do they want from you? You know, certainly if you're there and you're on your phone, yeah, you want to, you know, you want them to think you're busy and you're important, but you also want them to think that you're there for them. And so making sure that you give them your one-on-one attention. I think that that's something that's new. And I also think asking for work is not something that is beneath anyone. Right. So if I am new to the firm and I don't have any clients, I might talk to someone, and that's why the establishing relationships is so key, and say, you know, hey, you know, I really want to get my feet wet. I really like what you're doing. Would it be possible for you to introduce me to this client? Can I come along with you? Do you have any clients that you could possibly refer to me? Right. And asking for possible referrals and getting yourself out in the community, doing volunteer work. So people see you doing volunteer work, you're heading up a committee and they see your leadership skills. And in conversation, what do you do? Oh, well, I just joined this engineering firm, or I just joined this accounting firm. You never know where business can come from.
Well, since I teach public speaking, one of the things that you said that kind of piqued my interest was, hey, get out to the Rotary Club and give those speeches. Like, can you give me an example of like what would the person kind of present on? What would a new attorney present on to a Rotary group that would, you know, be likely to kind of lead to more business? What kind of presentations could you recommend to them?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is asking. In other words, if I was giving a speech to a Rotary Club, I would say, you know, most of the members at this meeting that you'd like me to speak at, what is their area of expertise? What type of work or business are they in? And then I might say, what topics have you had in the past that have gone really well? Is there anything you suggest to spark interest? Or sometimes you might even hand out a survey. And so I give to the person in the Rotary Club, I say, you know, here's a survey of some of the possible topics, you know, that I have expertise in. Can you have them check 1 through 5, which they might be most interested in?
Ooh, nice.
So gearing your topic to the audience. I think it's important to speak about what you know best.
Sure.
So if I am an intellectual property attorney, I want to talk about something in intellectual property that would be of interest to JQ Public. You know,
right.
If I'm an estates attorney, for example, I've been coaching someone in elder law. An elder law attorney. And that's something that really is important in terms of, you know, if you have elderly parents, you know, how are you going to handle the situations that they have to face? So that might be something. That's in the news that relates to your area of law. Litigation. You can talk about, you know, what does a litigator do? What happens at a trial? You know, I think what's key to remember is not talking above your audience. You know, when I teach public speaking in a college level, I said, pretend your audience knows nothing. And, you know, you have to start from that, impressing them with big words and, you know, things that are above their level where they really won't connect is not the best way to get a client. So pique their interest, some topic that would be of interest to them, and make it so that, you know, they can understand what you're doing and, you know, say that this is a simplified version and, you know, you're here to help them. You are somebody who can really cares about what they need and you can fulfill those needs. And
right.
So that's what I would suggest.
As you were talking, something hit me about an attorney that spoke to a convention that I was at. It was a convention of speakers, so there was about 300 of us that were all professional speakers there. And one mm-hmm. of the things that she had us do before we walked in was it was just a one page form that we all had to kind of fill out because it was under the pretext of hey, we were going to do filming, and so you have to sign in order to be in the room and stuff like that, right? So when we got into the room, she said, "Hey, do you guys just realize that you guys all just signed over every single bit of your intellectual property to me while you were out in the hallway?" And we were all like, "What?" Yeah. So basically, she owned all of our companies at that point. So it was kind of a. She was like, "Now, just so you know, I've ripped up all those contracts, but that's the kind of thing that you can. That's the kind of trouble that you can kind of get into if you don't have professional help in the speaking business." So she was setting herself up to be the professional speaker's attorney.
I think that's terrific.
Ton of business as a result of kind of going through that, because there were a lot of us that got hit over the head with it pretty quickly. So, yeah, that fantastic advice.
I want to add one thing to that. One of the things when you said, how can you make people hire you? When you speak, she used a great attention getter. And, right. If you can come up with an interesting attention getter like that, that would connect with your business, that's a terrific thing to do. But also tell stories. Say something personal about yourself to show that you're a real person and you can connect with your audience. So, if I'm an attorney, I might say something about a case that I had. And don't always talk about your successes. Make yourself, humble. Tell something that happened to you. This is a funny story that happened. It was a little embarrassing, but I learned my lesson from it. And share that with your audience. So I think the storytelling as well as the attention getter that your speaker had was a great way to connect with an audience.
I'm glad you brought that up, because maybe you can help me. One of the challenges that I have when I have professionals come through the two-day Fearless Presentations class, for instance, or when mm-hmm. I have attorneys or folks that deal with a lot of confidential information, it becomes more challenging for them to insert stories into their presentations, because a lot of the stuff that they deal with on a day-to-day basis is stuff that's confidential to the client that they're dealing with. So how do you kind of get around that? Have you come up with some interesting ways to make it to where they're able to kind of tell their stories but do it in a way that doesn't give away that confidentiality?
Well, I think that you can certainly take an incident, and use the incident and change it enough to make it relevant to the audience without, never telling the name of the company, never telling the name of the person, and just making it a more general thing, but use it as your story. So, right. For example, I gave you my friend who was a therapist.
Sure.
It's a true story. It happened, but I never told you her name. I never told you the name of the client or the name of the firm she worked for. And so that was a way of, you can do something similar to that. But sharing something, and even talking about the issue of confidentiality is good, and how it relates to today, in terms of our current political situation and confidentiality and breaches of confidentiality. So you can raise interest and then talk about how that affects your line of business.
Oh, hey Sue, one of the things that that kind of just hit me, one of the things that we have challenges with is that, we have a 2-day public speaking class, and sometimes mm-hmm. attorneys, because they don't want to give up the billable hours, they don't want to set aside 2 days for training. And I'm sure that's the same way with a lot of different professionals, with accountants, with attorneys, with engineers, with medical professionals, that kind of thing. So I understand you've found a very creative way to help people in these professional industries get really good training, but do it where they're not losing a lot of billable hours. So tell us how you do mm-hmm. that.
Well, one of the things that I do, I think that I can give a presentation skills workshop in 2 hours. And that's usually about the right time. I try to do it, a lunch hour, so that people have their lunch, they get their lunch, lunch is served, and then I speak, they can eat while I'm presenting to save time, and I do the presentation in 2 hours, and then what I offer is an opportunity to videotape the individuals who attend, who wish to, and they can do a private one-on-one session with me with the videotaping that they have done. Now, mm-hmm. whether they have somebody in the firm, county firm, law firm, do a videotape of them, and they have the tape, and they share it with me, or they do it on their phone and give me a link. Anything might work, or Skype. But I work with them one-on-one on their individual presentation, and that seems to help. So basically everybody gets the information because they're all at the seminar together. Very often I will have them bring an old tape of themselves prior to the presentation, and we look at that together. And then I have them retape it, and then a private coaching session comes again, and we talk about the differences in the first tape and the second tape. Were there differences? Mm-hmm. Were there any changes? And that seems to be of value. Sometimes I schedule back-to-back, and so if a place hires me for the day, let's say, and I do a presentation let's say 10 to 12, and then the afternoon I do the individual sessions with anybody who wants to do a half an hour coaching session or longer with me.
Right.
So it doesn't take a lot of time.
So all total for each individual person who's kind of going through, you're looking at 2.5 to 3 hours max that they're going through actual training, but they're getting the value of having a much longer training because they're doing the videotaping, you're getting that one-on-one coaching and that kind of
thing. Right. Right, and nice. The videotaping can be done on their own time. So
nice.
Let's say, the week before the presentation, they do a videotape. Then they have the presentation, and if they, then want to go over the videotape right after, that's the extra half an hour or 45 minutes, whatever the firm or the corporation allows. And then I can meet them again, for another videotape session. And I do this with people, long distance. I don't have to be at the place. So if somebody wants to work with me, on a weekend, I'm happy to do that and do some coaching, with Skype on the telephone. And it works quite well, or sending me a link to their video and I watch it.
Well, what kind of in closing, what are some of the things that you kind of see professionals do in their presentations that kind of turn off audiences? The things that you can kind of help them with to keep them from making some of those big mistakes that a lot of audiences don't like?
Okay. Well, I think that when I think about presentations and the complaints, when I look at evaluations of myself and other speakers, there's usually five major complaints several major complaints. And one of the major complaints is it was too long.
Right.
Someone once said that if I had more time, I would have written a shorter speech.
Right.
And I think that that's really great advice because it's so true. I think that, we can cut down the time that we spend on our speeches and presentations. And just remember, the attention span of most people is 20 minutes and not longer. So if someone says, okay, how long would you like to speak? Speak on the short side. Get your information out. Another big thing that people say is that it was boring. And as I mentioned, telling stories, don't tell jokes if you're not a good joke teller, but make sure that that you've got something that's going to be an attention getter or something of interest. Another thing that people complain about is this speech wasn't relevant. And what I suggest is know your audience. Give them information that can help them directly. So if I'm speaking to engineers, I want to relate to engineers, what is it that they want to hear? So make your information relevant. Another thing that I think I might have mentioned is don't be too technical. We all know our own industry. We all have our own buzzwords. Our audience doesn't know those buzzwords and doesn't know those technical terms. So speak. I want to leave with a thought. The definition of a speech is a conversation with a purpose.
Right.
And so when you think of every talk that you give, you're conversing. Make sure that it's not technical and that you have a good speaking style and your style is conversational. Don't talk at people, talk with them. And so those are the thoughts I'd like to leave you with.
Nice, good deal. And by the way, Sue's provided us with a little cheat sheet. It's a downloadable form that has a lot of her tips on it. You can get that free at our podcast website. So if you go to fearlesspresentations.com/podcast, you can download that and get a lot of her free tips there. So Sue, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Fearless Presentations podcast and really sharing with us some of those insights that have helped you become a great coach with some of the professional folks around here. So thanks a lot for being a part of the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Doug. I appreciate it.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.